Good morning, ladies. We're going to go ahead and get started. I'm going to pray for our time together and then jump right into our teaching today. So, Father God, we thank you so much for these women and for the chance to study your word together. Father God, we thank you for the example of David, and I just pray, Father God, that there would be open hearts and open minds to hear this talk today, and Father God, that your words would be my words, and that we would have a great discussion time over this lesson. I thank you for all this stuff. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Well, today we're looking at 2 Samuel 7. If you have your Bibles, you can turn there now. I'm going to be referencing it in a little bit, and we've also got slides today, hopefully, with all of the scripture that I'm referencing. So this is a short chapter in the Bible, which is one that scholars say is very important because it outlines God's legacy promise to David. So we see David, and it starts out with him saying that since he lives in a house, he wants the Ark of the Covenant to live in a house, and he's going to build a temple. And Nathan says, go ahead, David, whatever you want to do, do it, because the Lord is with you. But then we see that God comes to Nathan in a dream and says, no, that's not the plans I have for David. And so then Nathan has to go and tell the king no, right? That that's not what God wants him to do, but here's what God is going to do for you. And that's where we see the outline of the legacy, that David's his lineage will last forever and that God's kingdom will come from that. So upon hearing this, David immediately turns to prayer. He immediately begins praising God and giving God thanks. So I think that we can learn a great deal about how we are to respond to God by looking at David's response to God. In order to respond to God the way that David did, I believe there are three things that we need to believe at all times. And they are that God is good all the time. Number two, God has a plan, even when it doesn't seem like he does. And three, that God's plan is for his glory. And they're up on the screen there for you. So God has a plan all the time, or God is good all the time. God has a plan, and God's plan is meant for his glory. So number one, God is good all the time, even when he says no or not yet to us. Responding to God is a choice, and how you respond depends on what truth you believe about God. And I think it's really easy to believe that God is good when things are going well for us, wouldn't you agree? Like, it's pretty easy. But how about when life isn't going the way that we want it to, or that we thought it would, or different than we expected? Do we still believe God is good then? David wanted to build a temple. We see that in our lesson. He wanted it as a blessing to God. And that's a good thing, right? I mean, he was wanting to bless God by creating a temple for him, for his Ark of the Covenant. But God said no to him. I could kind of imagine David might have been a little frustrated. I mean, he had just waited 20 years for the fulfillment of the promise that he was going to become king. And now God was backing him off again. God was saying no to him, but I have this planned for you, as we'll see later. But David understands that even though God is saying no to David, he is not rejecting David. As I've told you before, my husband and I we accidentally adopted a special needs child. And by that I mean that our daughter was referred to us as a typically developing healthy baby girl. And somewhere along the line, something happened to her, and she was no longer developing typically. We brought her home when she was 7 months old, and we were immediately immersed in the world of doctors and specialists, of testing, of procedures, of therapies, just this crazy world, which truthfully, we wanted no part of. My husband and I both vividly remember praying against special needs when we were adopting our children. We just didn't think it was a good fit for us. And we were like, nope, God, we don't want that. So we spent almost 2 years trying to find out what was wrong with our daughter, what had happened to her, what was wrong with her, and then as a result, like what our prognosis would be. And we went to every specialist we were referred to. We had every test possible. And I remember we went to this one specialist who was supposed to be the best. Like she was going to answer our questions on Grace. And so she did all of the battery of tests that she was going to do. And she looked at us and she said, well, I have to tell you, Grace is a beautiful and charming enigma. Basically, she had no idea either what had happened, what was happening, and what was going to happen. And it was really frustrating, to be quite honest with you. It was just hard. It was super challenging for us. I spent many a night in Grace's room praying, begging God to heal her, begging God to give the doctors wisdom, begging God to give Mark and I wisdom. I just wanted to know what was wrong so I could fix it. But that really wasn't God's plan for us. And so we decided after all those months and years of struggling for a diagnosis that we were done. We just weren't going to get this answer. This was a question that perhaps we'd have to wait to get in heaven. It was not something we were going to get here. And so we stopped searching and we stopped begging God for an answer. And during that time, I really, really, truly resonated with David when he wrote Psalm 13. In it, he says, how long, Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and day after day have sorrow in my heart? And that was a clear picture of who I was and where I was at that time. But then David ends the psalm praising God. He states, I will sing the Lord's praise, for he has been good to me. And that was just a gentle reminder to me that God was still good, even though I wasn't getting the answer that I wanted. So we decided to stop pursuing a prognosis and a diagnosis for her. And truthfully, it wouldn't have changed anything. It wouldn't have changed how we loved Grace or cared for her or fought for her. It just would have been nice for us to be able to say, okay, our daughter has this. And now we do that, and she's better, right? So, but we weren't able to get that answer from God. And we knew that God was still in control, even though he wasn't giving us that answer. So even though our circumstances weren't what we wanted them to be, we were able to still look at God and believe that he was good. And we were able to cling to that truth despite our circumstances, which is really what faith is, right? So in Hebrews 11:1 it says, now faith is the substance, is the confidence in what we hope for and the assurance about what we do not see. So we were having faith where our daughter Grace was concerned because we knew the character of God and we knew that he was good all the time. I love this quote from G.K. Chesterton. It says, to love means loving the unlovable. To forgive means pardoning the unpardonable. Faith means believing the unbelievable. To hope means hoping when everything seems hopeless. And that's sort of where we were. We were hoping when everything seemed hopeless. We had faith that God was good, and that led to our hope. And our hope was for the future, and that we were able to praise God, even though our circumstances looked bleak at that time. Psalm 100 is an awesome psalm of praise, which we turn to time and time again in our house. And it says, for the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all the generations. And that's exactly what we're talking about today. God is saying no to David's idea of building a temple for him and glorifying him that way. But he's also saying that what I have planned for you is so much greater than you could ever imagine. Choosing to respond to God by believing that he is good all the time is an act of faith, and that will allow us to be like David when we hear God say no or not right now. So point number two, God has a plan, even when it seems like he doesn't. As we see in our reading, God has bigger plans for David and for his life than building a temple. And I'm going to read verses 8 through 11, and they're also going to be on the screen. It says, now then, tell my servant David. So God is talking to Nathan, remember? Now then, tell my servant David, this is what the Lord Almighty says. I took you from the pasture, from leading his flock, and appointed you a ruler over my people Israel. I have been with you wherever you have gone, and I have cut off all your enemies from before you. Now I will make your name great, like the names of the greatest men on earth. So he was telling David what he had done for him, and then telling him what his plan was. I will make your name great. So in this case, David got his answer right away. As to, all right, now I'm going to say no to this, but this is what I have planned for you. And it doesn't always work out like that, right? I kind of wish it would. Like, I'm the kind of person that I would love to know, all right, God, just show me a glimpse. Show me your end game. Tell me you've got it under control. And then I'm fine, right? But I think if God did that, then I wouldn't need him. Because I would already know what was going to happen. And so I think that's why God doesn't always show us his plan. Because if he did, we wouldn't need to rely on him. I was raised in the church, and I loved the church that I went to, and I remember all the Bible stories and everything. So when I became a believer as an adult, it was very easy for me to believe that the Bible was true, that whatever was in it, it was true in its entirety, and that was God's word. But even though I could believe that the Bible was true in its entirety, I still struggled with the fact that the life that I was living was in no way, shape, or form like the life I dreamed about. I struggled with the fact that God would give me a detail-oriented planner who likes to fix things with patience issues, as my boys will tell you this morning, a child like Grace, who had no diagnosis, no prognosis, and no idea what her future was like. I struggled with that. Several years ago, I was sitting in service, and Mark Lucinius, one of the pastors here at Willowdale, said something to the effect of, where you are right now is exactly where God wants you to be in your life. Well, ladies, I was breathless. I couldn't stand it. I was like, really? This is exactly where God wants me to be? It was one of those times where you know the pastor's talking to you. Do you know what I mean? Like, you think, oh, how did he know I needed that? It was so hard for me to accept. But as I wrestled with that thought and I talked with other Christians and I read my Bible, prayed, I was able to realize that I was fighting God about our daughter Grace. And I was mad about the fact that she was special needs. But see, now all during that time, if you had come to me, I would have said, she is a blessing and a testimony, and it's wonderful. But it really wasn't. I was looking at my problems. I was looking at my circumstances. I was looking at what I was missing out on by not having the typical daughter that I had dreamed of. And I was upset. And I was mad at God. I looked at what I was missing out on instead of looking at the blessing that Grace was for me and the people in my life. And it was not fair, right? I just didn't think it was fair. Well, it was really difficult, but I was able to work through all those feelings after, you know, talking to other Christians. I saw a Christian counselor, and I was able to work through those feelings. And I was able to fully rest again in the fact that God had a plan. I didn't know what it was. He didn't show me the answer like he showed David, but I was okay. Well, while I was struggling with all my feelings, my son John's memory verse for school was 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18. Don't you love it how God works through your children? The verse says, rejoice always, pray continually, and give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. So in all circumstances. Well, that's not a new verse to me. I mean, if you go to church, you hear that all the time. But on this day, as John was practicing it and I was combing Grace's hair, I was struck. I had been fighting God about me. I had been fighting God about the fact that it wasn't fair, that Ann didn't have the child that she wanted, that Ann was missing out, that Ann. But in reality, I needed to accept that verse in terms of grace. I needed to accept that term, that verse, in terms of the fact that where Grace was God's perfect plan for her life. That this was His best for her, and He knew what He was doing. As Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 say, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to Him, and He will make your path straight." That was hard for me, ladies, to accept that those promises in terms of grace. And if you ask me, I would say, I got this. I mean, grace is 10. I've got it. But in truth, there's a little corner of my heart that sometimes does believe that, and I struggle with it. So for the most part, I live in the world of acceptance. I can accept that Grace has these disabilities and that I've been chosen by God to be her mother. But sometimes, that little corner of my heart wins. And it's not fair. And I get mad and I get upset. And unfortunately for my husband, Dark Ann comes and lives at our house, and it is not a pleasant time. Grace's life verse, which we picked before we knew she had special needs, which I just love the way God does that, is Jeremiah 29:11. "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future," which is amazing, and I love that. But then I also like reading the next couple verses that say, "Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you," God says. "You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and I will bring you back from captivity." And so I rest on those verses because sometimes that little corner of my heart wins and I plans that He has, and I forget that He knows and that He's good, but then He brings me out of captivity. He brings me out of bondage to those negative thoughts, to those destructive thoughts, and He leads me out of captivity. We don't know, and we may never know, why we've had to go through certain things in this life here on earth, but we can believe and really live in that promise that God is good all the time and His plans work for the good of us, His children. We can live in that promise and respond to God's no's with prayer, just like David did. Choosing to respond to God means that we trust God has a good plan for us, even though we don't see or understand it. And finally, number 3, God's plan is for His glory. As we see in verses 11b through 13 in our reading today, God's plan for David was to make his line last forever. God's plan of redemption would come through David. And these verses say, "The Lord declares to you that the Lord Himself will establish a house for you. When your days are over and you rest with your ancestors, I will raise up your offspring to succeed you, your own flesh and blood, and I will establish His kingdom. He is the one who will build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of His kingdom forever." And then verse 16 says, "Your house and your kingdom will endure forever before me. Your throne will be established forever." So scholars agree that this is a clear promise of the coming of Jesus Christ from David's line. How incredible would that have been to hear? I mean, can you even imagine sitting there and hearing that your lineage was going to be the birth of Christ, our Savior? I can't even imagine. David knew that God was telling him what his purpose and plan was, and that it wasn't for David's glory, but it was for God's glory. And that it was for all of Israel to benefit from. And that they would help fulfill God's greater purpose, and it would bless the whole world. David was being blessed, and therefore God's glory would last forever, and it would be evident for everybody to see when Jesus came. David immediately goes when he hears this and sits before the Lord and begins praying, prayers of thanksgiving, praise, and adoration. And I think that is a beautiful response to it, to hearing that God, it was God's for God's glory. The very first sermon my husband and I ever heard here at Willowdale Chapel, which is funny that I remember because I really don't rarely remember exact messages. But this one, Pastor Greg, taught about signs, wonders, and miracles. And he told this story about somebody who had cancer and that they were praying for healing. And then he said that perhaps the miracle was not that the person got healed from cancer, but how the person, the Christian, dealt with having that illness and not being healed. Well, it was really timely because it was right in the time when my husband and I were searching for a diagnosis for Grace. And so we looked at that message and we thought perhaps not getting healing for Grace, not getting an answer for Grace, we were going to be used for God's glory, that our friends and family and coworkers and neighbors would watch us walk through this journey, and then that would glorify God. And so when I stopped searching for a diagnosis, when we stopped searching for a diagnosis, and we accepted that perhaps we may never know what happened to Grace, I asked God to use her story for His glory, to use me to tell her story on how God is still good, even though our circumstances don't seem like they are. I wanted to be able to tell others that even though I wouldn't have chosen this life of having a significantly special needs child, that God was still good and that God still had a plan for her and that she is the most incredible blessing. And if I hadn't had that blessing of Grace, I would not have unshakable faith that I knew that God was good. But again, I wouldn't have chosen this life for me. So as I'm working out my life, we pray that it gives glory to God. As Jesus says in John chapter 15, verse 8, this is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. And I think it's really through His power working through me that I am able to be up here and share with you my struggles of raising a child with special needs and not be embarrassed to show just how broken I am sometimes. I think it's His power. Our lives are meant to be a living testimony to God's goodness and His mercy. And I love chapter 2, verses 8 through 10, where they say, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." So there's that plan again. God knew He has a plan for us, and we are to do good works in His honor. Well, in 2010, my husband and I, well, our whole family, visited a camp called Johnny and Friends, and it's for any family affected by disability. And it was really, truly the start of my healing over this whole situation, because it was the first time that I ever sat with other parents of special needs kids and got to hear their stories. And as we told our stories and we laughed and we cried, they pointed us back to Jesus and they pointed us back to the cross. And they pointed us back to the fact that God was in control and that whatever we were going through was for His glory and was according to His plan. Well, I did not want to leave that camp. I was surrounded by other people that were so supportive. And as I got home, I just had a longing to be around women that were going through a similar situation as me. And I just wanted to always have that community and that fellowship to be able to say when the hard things were happening, like, this is what I'm going through. And for them to get it, because they're walking similar lives. So in 2012, I helped start a ministry here called First Fridays for Moms. And we meet on the first Friday of every month. Clever like that. And it's all moms who come who have kids of special needs, and it's any special needs. So they're all different. We're all walking different paths, but we walk a similar journey. And it has been the most amazing community of other mothers where we share what's going on, we're able to relate. We meet once a month and we talk about a different topic and we just help heal each other because we love on each other, we share the truth of Jesus, and we always, always end on a win. And I really feel like this was God's plan for my life, that He would take me through some of this to a point of healing, and then I would be able to create a group that would help start healing other moms. And it has been beautiful to see their faith strengthened and just see some of the walks that people are going on or going through. So choosing to respond to God means that I allow Him to work through me by letting others see and see me feel and experience the pain of lost earthly dreams. I allow others to see me cling to Him through my pain and disappointment and find joy in this life that we have with our daughter Grace. In conclusion, I want to share with you something that John Piper wrote in one of his teachings when he taught on 2 Samuel 7. He said, "I close with an invitation for you to make God's covenant with David a covenant with you. It's not just my invitation, it's God's invitation. The point of this invitation is that the very sovereignty and wisdom and love of which God assured David of an eternal kingdom can also assure you of God's eternal kindness as a part of that kingdom." So I know that was like really, really wordy and I got confused reading it. But basically the point that he's trying to make is that God assured David of his eternal kingdom, and he is assuring us of that too through his kindness and sovereignty. He asks us to turn to Isaiah 55, 1 through 3. And I'm only going to read the last verse. I'm going to read 3. It says, "Give ear and come to me. Listen that you may live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you, my faithful love promised to David." So he's promising us an everlasting covenant just like he promised David. Now, I don't know what you're facing or what you're struggling with. I think it's probably not raising a special needs child. But maybe it's struggling to accept a strained marriage or a relationship with a parent or a child. Maybe it's a struggle to accept a diagnosis or an illness. Maybe it's a struggle to extend forgiveness so that you can begin to heal. Maybe it's the struggle to accept whatever stage of life you're in or whatever stage of life you're getting ready to go into. Maybe it's the struggle to accept the loss of a loved one or the loss of earthly dreams. I don't know what you may be struggling with, but I do know that God is good and He has a plan for all of us, and that plan is for His glory. Is there an area in your life that you know God wants you to respond to Him? Is there an area you know you haven't fully surrendered to Him and found victory in? Maybe a corner of your heart, like I have a corner of my heart? Is there something that you're going through and you're focusing on your circumstances instead of God? I encourage you, set some time apart and examine where you are. Allow God to work in your heart on these issues and ask Him to help you get to a place of acceptance. As we surrender our hearts to God, we will lead a surrendered life, just like David did. When we know without a shadow of a doubt that God is good all of the time, that He has a plan and His plan is good even though we can't see it, and that His plan is for His glory, for God's glory, not ours, then we can live our life as a response to God just like David did, responding to Him with prayers of praise and thanksgiving, just like David did. Thank you.
How you feel?